We return now to the news surrounding the resignation of General David Petraeus as CIA director. That story, the investigation into the relationship between Petraeus, Paula Broadwell, Jill Kelly, and General John Allen, all of it raises a central question about military culture itself. Here's Tom Shanker, Pentagon and national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, raising this issue for us on the program yesterday. Is there a culture of superiority that comes from America's adulation of its military heroes?
The military is beginning to think that it's better and separate. And while the entire nation owes everyone in uniform a huge debt of gratitude, at the same time, you talk to military personnel, and there is a worrisome trend for them to consider themselves separate and different and apart from us. And in that, I think there is a danger that people begin to think that their national sacrifice allows them to avoid some of the rules that apply to the rest of us.
And this applies to issues far outside of moral conduct in marriage. And we want to discuss that with Spencer Ackerman, who's interviewed General Petraeus as a writer for Wired Magazine's Danger Room blog and has raised the issue of whether there is a cult of David Petraeus. Spencer joins us from his office in Washington. Spencer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also returning to talk to us is Andrew Bacevich, a visiting fellow at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. He's a professor of international relations who writes about military history and culture. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
Andrew, let me begin with you. It seems to me that the adulation of David Petraeus was a distorted lens which made it hard for us to see what was really going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. It seems to me you're relieved to have him out of the way in some sense.
Well, I mean, that may overstate it a little bit, but I do agree with your basic point that the pedestal upon which we, the people, maybe more specifically many in the media, had placed General Petraeus made it more difficult for us to evaluate critically the course of U.S. military history over the past decade or so. You know, a decade ago, we thought that when the United States went to war, the object of the exercise was to win. We've now come around to the point where we have accepted that the object of the exercise is something other than victory. And the Iraq war didn't end in a win. The Afghanistan war is not going to end in a win. And those facts ought to be the basis for very carefully scrutinizing why we go to war, when we go to war, and what we should get out of going to war.
Spencer Ackerman, is there a cult of David Petraeus, and does it exist in the media, in America at large, or within the closed circles of the chain of command?
Think of it like concentric circles. First, inside official Washington, he commanded almost a unique status where he was beyond criticism, to the point where, as you saw when he testified during the surge in 2007 on Capitol Hill, politicians just wanted to cloak themselves in his mantle. It was almost like John McCain, when he ran for president, was running with Petraeus as his running mate, more than Sarah Palin was. Then in the media, there was, and I include myself in this to some degree, a belief that this guy was just so impressive, so intellectually able, and so capable that it sort of excused giving some of his premises about how to conduct the war a bit of a pass, or at least sort of, you know, preempting some critical questions. And I think Dr. Bacevich is right in that. In the country at large, I wonder. I mean, he's certainly the most respected, the highest adulated general in the country, probably the best known since Colin Powell, and most certainly the one who's most respected. But I wonder the degree to which a public that hasn't really paid so much attention to Iraq and Afghanistan is really that affected. Mm-hmm.
Andrew Bacevich, let's go back to you on this. That is a huge irony that Petraeus gets a pass on the question of what constitutes an acceptable outcome in Afghanistan and Iraq, because everybody takes his word on military issues, but he's not going to get a pass on this moral lapse in his own marriage. It seems to me, whatever the morality here, that is a huge messed up set of priorities.
I think that's a very, very good point. I mean, the obsession with the Paula Broadwell affair is, I think, entirely inappropriate. It would seem that the guy behaved shamefully, but frankly, he has taken responsibility for that. For whatever reason, we don't know. And from my perspective, that ought to end it. But the useful aspect of bringing him down, as it were, is that it really ought to clear the path to enable us now, to invite us now, to examine the Petraeus myth and by extension, the myth that the Iraq War ended in something akin to a success. It didn't.
Why have we lost the capacity in the United States to hold military leaders accountable with our civilian governmental structures? That's what the hearings are designed to do, and yet it's more of a worship fest.
Well, this is one of the unintended, unanticipated consequences of creating the all-volunteer force after Vietnam. A few people anticipated, most people did not, that one result would be to create this gap between the military and society that is very real and has become very problematic. And on our side, on the civilian side of the gap, that has created this this deference to the military, this slogan of needing to support the troops, which, of course, in a sense is absolutely necessary and appropriate, but shouldn't be a cause for sort of, you know, checking your brain at the door.
Spencer Ackerman, final thoughts before we go. This is a great discussion.
Yeah, think as well about how many fewer politicians are getting elected to Congress who've served in the military or have significant experience with it. It's another offshoot of creating the all-volunteer military in the 70s. The further the distance is between civilian society and the military, the greater the likelihood is for an inappropriate, well-intentioned, but somewhat condescending and ultimately counterproductive adulation.
All right. To Spencer Ackerman, a writer for Wired Magazine's Danger Room blog, and Andrew Bacevich, visiting fellow at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. You know, it's a real irony here at the end of the hour to imagine Colin Powell, who you mentioned, who was held up as this symbol, but really symbolized someone who was duped by the national security establishment during the Iraq War, and his general's credentials, that adulation, was just sort of squandered here in a similar way. The adulation of General Petraeus is squandered in this lack of accountability on the wars and this focus on this moral scandal in his own marriage. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great conversation happening on Facebook right now on this subject. We asked if those in uniform should be held to different standards. And we should add to that what Spencer Ackerman and Andrew Bacevich have suggested. Should they be held more accountable for their military records? Forget the moral stuff. Kevin from Attleboro, Massachusetts posted this. Nope. Tried that higher standard stuff with the clergy. Elizabeth says it's all a distraction from more serious issues. She posted this to our Facebook page. I can't imagine anyone buying into this narrative. The turn of events has little to do with sex, lies, and Gmail. Join the conversation. Give us your analysis. Be a part of it. Facebook.com/The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.